Thank you, Jacob. If you would, grab your Bible and turn over to Philippians chapter 1. The next five Sundays, Lord willing, I'll be preaching from this book of the Bible. I taught from Philippians for a good while on Wednesday nights. Actually taught through the book of Philippians for a good while a couple years ago. But the Lord gave me some messages just in a good timely manner. I thought the church could use. I know I could use them, and I just put them down. So, Lord willing, the next four or five Sundays. That means if you're here today, you've got to at least be here 4 or 5 weeks in a row. Amen. And you don't want to miss one. So that's why we do it. That's why as pastors we try to preach series and books of the Bible. Because if you ever miss them, then you can go back. Of course, you can go back on the Facebook and watch it if you do miss. And that would be a blessing there. So Philippians chapter number 1, Paul is writing a thank you note in the beginning, especially to these believers for their help and an hour of need. And he's even on occasion, he sends along some instruction about their Christianity and about these believers there at Philippi. The first, 11 verses, they're wonderful. And I love them. And this kind of the acknowledgement of those believers and how Paul his greetings. He used often the same greetings in some of the epistles, but it kind of gets down to verse 12 is where my text is, and on to about verse number 25 and 26. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." That word "fallen out" or which happened, those, if you look at it, Paul's really saying, I want you to know what turned out in my life. I want you to understand what's really happened, because the things which happened to me are not what I really planned on happening. How many of you can testify to that? We know things happen and we like, I didn't really plan on that being. You know, one thing when we come to a new year, we often say, well, our goals for this year or our plans for this year, or we're going to do this or do that. And often when we get on that journey, we find out that things happen and it wasn't the way we planned on it happening. That's exactly what Paul's saying in verse 12. Then in verse 13, so that my bonds or my chains in Christ are manifest, they're made known in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, and to be with Christ, which is far better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the book of Philippians. We thank You, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God who penned these words in the heart of those scribes that wrote these words down. Lord, we thank You that we have the gift of the Word of God, the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I pray as we preach this morning that we preach Christ, Christ crucified, risen from the dead. Lord, as it may be a comfort to folks this morning who are hurting, who are in a place of difficulty in their life. We have many. Lord, I pray You'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in verse 12, there's, I guess, a background more than anything else here. Paul, he wanted to visit Rome. He always dreamed of going to Rome. Rome was the hub of the Roman Empire. It was a very strong place. And he wanted to go to this hub of the Roman Empire to preach none other than Jesus Christ. It was critical for his vision of proclaiming Jesus Christ, the gospel. He had previously said, I must also see Rome in Acts chapter 19, in verse 21. He said in that Corinthian church, to the Corinthians, he wrote, I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome, in Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So Paul had planned on going to Rome to preach as a missionary. We have the Eirik family this morning. The Eiriks are our missionaries going to the Bahamas to reach the children of the Bahamas. I'm sure Paul, he was a missionary, the greatest missionary to ever live. And his plan was to go to Rome to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was what Paul's desire was. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Paul was a zealous man. Paul was a man that was, there was nobody too poor or too rich or too, has notoriety or someone that was just somebody, a homeless man. Paul didn't care as long as someone heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul was planning to go to Rome, and Paul wanted to go to Rome as a preacher, but instead, Paul actually goes to Rome as a prisoner. His dream of going to Rome as a preacher, it didn't come the way that he probably thought it would. He goes to Rome as a prisoner. But even though Paul faced this difficulty, they became doors of opportunity and hope. I thought about this eclipse that we had a few years ago. How many of you remember that eclipse we had here in the Greenville area? It was pretty good here. One of the best places, I guess, in the world to see it was right here. And the way I understand it, you had to have special glasses. We had to go out and get these glasses and you had to wear those little things and watch it for just a brief second. And it kind of passed over. And I remember we watched it out in the front of the house there. And we had people come. We had families drive from different places and come and watch this thing that happened for a few seconds. And I thought, man, that's the craziest thing ever. But that's what they did. And it was neat. The moon basically blots out the sun. And just for a few seconds, it looks like night, and then the sun bursts back out, and you can't watch it or it'll burn your eyes. I guess that's the way it is. But you know, even during the moon, when it blots out the sun, guess what? The sun's still shining. The sun never lost its rays. It never lost its sunshine. Matter of fact, out here today, you won't see the sunshine much. Now, you may see it. I don't know if it's supposed to come out a little bit later, but you won't see it out there today. You're not seeing the sun. It's going to be mostly rain clouds, and it's going to be some rain and a nasty day. Hopefully tomorrow the sun will come out. I'm not sure. But guess what? Above those clouds in the sky, there is a sun that is shining. Amen. I travel quite a bit and preach, and I'll get on the airplane, I don't know, 10 or 12 times this year and fly around and preach to different conferences and churches. And often you'll leave on a day much like today. You'll leave on a day where it's cloudy, but when that plane gets above those clouds and you get up there, man, it's so bright and sunny. I've gotten several messages from that, but often we need to live above the clouds, don't we? We need to live above the clouds in life and let the clouds be down here and let the sun shine up here. And if you'll stay above the clouds, everything will be all right. Well, here we have the sun shining. And often we let these difficulties, they block the sun, the S-O-N, but the sun still shines in our life. And that's a great truth in this passage today, in this book of Philippians chapter 1. Even though God can take our bad circumstances and bring about good, that's what He can do. Paul's in a bad circumstance. He's in a bad difficulty in Philippians 1. Things have not worked out the way that he had planned on them working out. Paul doesn't go into specific detail about what exactly had gone on here in this difficulty. He simply sums it up and experience in a few words here in Philippians 1. And then he says in Acts chapter 21, you can go and see what some of these happenings were. It's quite a bit. That which happened to Paul included all the events of imprisonment and in Jerusalem, and he was in riots, and in 2 years he was imprisoned in Caesarea. He was beaten. There was threats on his life. And the trip to Rome after a shipwreck, he was able to look at all these difficulties that had happened. Paul was always in some difficulty, some way. But these difficulties turned into doors to advance the gospel. So I want to show you what I mean. There's three doors that I want us to go through this morning, and found in our scripture. How do we obtain this perspective of faith that Paul had? How do we make sense out of difficulties? How do we make them doors of opportunity? How do we get through there? Let me first say that we don't always see the doors when we go through these difficulties. We don't always see them. I look at people this morning. I think about people that are going through. There was a whole row of people here this morning that they still have to say goodbye to a wife, a mom, a daughter. What do you tell them? Well, there's no Bible college that can teach you the right words to say to a family in an emergency room when there's some type of life support that's trying to get them to come. There's no words. There's no right manual to go to. There's nothing that we can say that's going to make things be okay. Where do we see these doors, these difficulties? We don't always see the light in the middle of the fog. We don't always see the land in a foggy time in our life. We don't always feel like we have a good, clear view of God's will. Sometimes we even feel hemmed in a little bit. We look everywhere else but up. We look everywhere else. We look to our left and our right, and we look behind us, and we look in front of us, and we try to figure it out, but we don't see it, and we fail to look up sometimes. So where do we see these doors? That's what I want to preach to you this morning. When difficulties become doors. When difficulties become doors, because I want us to notice that we may not be able to see, as Angela sung about just a minute ago, we may not be able to see what God is up to right now in our difficulty. And this is why it is never wise for us to just make some rash decision in life, and life's falling apart, so we make some decision that is going to affect us for a long time. I believe time and prayer gives us a different perspective on our troubles. Many times, amen, during a difficulty, people will turn to everybody else but prayer. Everything else but prayer. And they end up making a very bad decision. So, where are these doors, preacher? Well, let me give you the first thing. It's found in verse 12 and 13. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds, or my chains, in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The first thing I want you to notice is the door of opportunity. The door of opportunity. See, Paul had discovered here in the Philippians, by Philippians chapter 1, he had discovered some difficulties and open doors of opportunity to get the gospel to advance. Notice what he says here. For the furtherance of the gospel. That means to advance the gospel. So Paul's saying, though things did not plan or come the way I planned on it, it has given me an opportunity to get the gospel to people that I never would have gotten the gospel to. Look at verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest, they're made known in all the palace and in all other places. That word palace, it actually means the praetorion. That praetorion was actually where the executive protection for the king would be. That's where they wanted. That's exactly what they did to Paul. Paul was maximum security. And they assigned these executive protection to Paul. And Paul is looking at it not the way that we probably would. Paul is actually looking at it like, hey, I get to give these men the gospel. What a door of opportunity. He said, in all the palace and in all other places. There was an opportunity for Paul. We must always keep this tension in mind here in these verses that God does not always cause the bad in our life. Sometimes it is for the good. I think about my Aunt Lisa. I was very close to my Aunt Lisa. And she passed away in 2000. I think it was about 2009. She started out with breast cancer and the cancer just spread throughout her body and it ended her period. She passed away. It was unbelievable. She was such a godly, godly woman. Here's what she said. I remember she had to go to the cancer center every other day. She had aggressive cancer. She had a port and they would put the cancer, the chemo and all that. And she would sit in a lounge chair in a recliner and this chemo would go into her body and she would often have to have radiation. And she would not look at it like most people would look at cancer. She looked at it as a door of opportunity. I can't tell you how many people that my aunt led to the Lord sitting right beside them taking chemo. They would actually have these lounge chairs near each other and someone would sit there. And my aunt would introduce herself and she was a regular and everybody knew her there and the doctors and the nurses. And she would walk in that cancer center and they would say, "How's Lisa doing today?" And she'd have a smile. She didn't feel good. Hey, she was burned under her arms and she was literally burned up and it was terrible. Lost all of her hair and lost her fingernails and lost all a bunch of life, lost her weight, but she never lost her smile, and she never lost her joy, and she never lost her salvation. Never lost her hope. Can't lose that. Boy, she walked in that cancer ward, and people would be in there depressed. Oh, it's such a depressing place, and people would be in there, and she would be in that little cancer place, and she'd be telling others about Jesus. I remember always saying, just won another soul to Christ. Told somebody about Jesus. They witnessed to one of my cancer doctors today. I'm working on him. You pray for him. Hey, I'm working on one of my nurses. I led so and so to Christ. Hey, you say, what are you trying to say? She was looking for that door of opportunity. Now, hold on a second. Was that something that she had planned on? Cancer. Listen, I'll never forget sitting at a wedding and we were at a reception and she announced at this table that we were at to family, she said, "I just want to let y'all know they found some spots." Boy, we didn't know the journey that she was going to go on. We didn't know all the things that was entailed for her. But she never got bitter. She always looked for areas and doors that she could effectively reach people with the gospel. And here Paul, he knows that God is using him to bring others to Christ. Here's Paul's new mission. It was a new mission field, if nothing less than right under the nose of the emperor, right under the nose of the king among the palace guards. It became evident that Paul was a Christian and that he was telling others about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Them chains that held Paul in bondage became chains of freedom and a freedom to bring the message of Jesus in a new place. And Paul's difficulties had become doors of opportunity. And I believe this morning that the Lord can work in our lives in a similar way. Oh yeah. See, your difficulties have the opportunity of advancing the message of Jesus in new places. There's a lady that I remember growing up. Her name was Brenda McMorris. Brenda was confined to a wheelchair for health issues. I'll never forget as a young kid watching her. I didn't understand it at the time. She'd drive this car. On top of the car looked like a luggage hauler, a luggage rack, and she had a wheelchair on top of that car. She'd slide those legs out of that car and she'd grab that wheelchair from off top of the car and fold that thing out. And she had it rough. I didn't understand what the burden she was in, but I remember watching her wheel herself into church. And she had a little pocket on the side of that wheelchair full of gospel literature and tracts. Smiling. She'd sit in church and worship God. I didn't know what she was going through, but guess what Brenda was looking for? It wasn't, that's the situation that she was in. And instead of being bitter about it and blaming God for it, she looked for a door of opportunity. And Brenda could witness to people that I could never witness to. Hey, is your difficulty. You know, I often think about this. When God closes a door, look for a window. Something. An opportunity. God is at work. Here's the second thing. I want you to skip down to verse 14. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 14. That first door is an opportunity. This second door, though, is a door of encouragement. Notice what happens. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Look what happened. So Paul is in chains. He's in a dungeon. He's in bondage. And instead of the others looking at Paul and saying, "Boy, look at him. Oh, they may do that to us. Oh, we better not speak the word with boldness. We better not witness." They see Paul and they are encouraged. They're encouraged in the Lord. Hey, did you read the verse the way that I read it? And many of the brethren, I believe some of these brethren, Paul may not even known. But they look and they see him in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds. Meaning they were growing stronger. They were getting stronger in the Lord because of what was happening to Paul. So Paul not only chose this door of opportunity, Paul chose a door of encouragement. Paul didn't get bitter. Paul said, "You know what, boys? This could happen to you. But be encouraged in the Lord. Don't lose your witness. Don't lose it. Waxing confident by my bonds, which are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Much more bold. Much more bold. You understand people are watching? Your difficulty can be a message. Your difficulty. Y'all remember last Sunday? 6 or 8 hours after Miss Cerise had been with the Lord. I ken you could have had every reason. First of all, we didn't get any sleep that night. He could have had every reason not to come to church that morning. He had every reason not to come. And guess what? He came. And he spoke to the church. You say, where did that come from? It's a door of encouragement. I was honored to be his pastor. I was honored to be Cerise's pastor for these years. I'd honored to be with him and walk through this valley of the shadow of death with Ikenia and his girls and his mom and dad. Hey, can I tell you right now? You say, where did that come from? It came from a door of encouragement. His life is preaching more today than it was a couple weeks ago. People are watching. They're watching you. Most people today, they get a hangnail, they miss church. A hangnail. Oh, yeah, y'all are as dead as 8:30, but I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm missing some of my, you know, my cheering section. But I'll say this, maybe you're not cheering because it's convicting. You look for, most people look, I call it the Facebook flu. I call it whatever. They look for a way. Well, so-and-so's sick, so I guess I'm sick today. Or, man, I don't want to go to church and get caught. I don't want this. But they'll go to Walmart, they'll go out to eat, they'll go to school, they'll go everywhere else. But church is where I'm going to get sick. I don't feel good. I'll go to work tomorrow, but I don't feel good today. Hey, and I know there's people out there that's genuinely sick, but can I tell you something? We look for ways to miss church. Hey, and we've got families that are saying, "Preacher, I need church. I need church. I need it." My goodness alive, if you realize how much you need it. You need to be around the family of God. Paul was saying, hey, doesn't it do something for you to look over across the sea and see somebody that's going through the fire and going through the flood and they're going through the things of this world and going through trials and different. And don't it do you good to look across there and see them and just say, wow, if they're here, man, so can I be. I mean, I can be here. So can I. I can be. Folks, you don't understand. We need each other. Amen. I've never understood this secluding and shutting the door and keeping yourself in and trying to cover yourself up. And I understand that. I understand some of that is real. But can I tell you, if there's ever been a time that you've needed God, if there's ever been a time that you've needed encouragement, it is today. Right. Oh my. Listen, we can be an encouragement. Our difficulties can become doors of encouragement. I think about the Queen, Mary Tudor, in 1553, The Queen was known as Bloody Mary. Maybe you've heard that in history. Bloody Mary hated Christians. She hated Christ. She hated anything to do with the Bible. Two reformers by the name of Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, these reformers were burned at the stake for their view of Christ, their stand for Christ. She hated Christians. Latimer encouraged Ridley by his remarks at the burning that there would be a light of a candle in England that by God's grace would never be put out by them sacrificing their lives. And by the way, that light was not put out. Other reformers stood, other martyrs stood because of a Hugh Latimer and a Nicholas Ridley. Think about it. Nothing strengthened the cause of Christ more during that period of time than the deaths of these men. And they were right. The Queen may have silenced Nicholas Ridley and Hugh Latimer, but their lives lit a fire that has not been quenched since. And your difficulty and how you respond to your difficulty can be a powerful spark of encouragement to others. I saw a man here this morning. None of you know his situation. I don't think there's anybody in this room knows his situation. We've sat down. We've wept together. We've cried together. We've rejoiced. This man comes to church just about every service. And if you knew his situation and what he has lived in for years, you'd weep. How he gets the strength to come to church, what he faces, it encourages this pastor. There's days like today where you may be down in number and you may be missing some people and maybe you just, you know, it's one of those holiday Sundays, but guess what? You look out and you see a man that no doubt had to face some things this morning just to come to church. His life is speaking. It's a door of encouragement. Here's the third thing. Look at verse 19. Philippians chapter 1. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The last door I believe we find in Philippians chapter 1 is not only the door of opportunity and the door of encouragement, but the door of hope. Here's what Paul was saying. He's in chains. He himself has had his hope renewed so much so that he can honestly say, whether I die or whether I live, it's all good. Man, have you thought about that? Paul is saying in these verses, it does not matter whether I live or whether I die, it's all good. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Whew. It's wonderful. He even said down in verse number 23, for I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Paul said, being with Jesus is far better. I'll tell you, if Cerise could come back today, she wouldn't. It's far better. We're the ones that should be weeping because we got to live in this sin-cursed world with difficulties and trials and things that we go through and things that we face. But let me tell you something. One day we're going to a place that is far better. We're going to a place where there'll be no more funerals. Hey, we're going to a place where we can rejoice and see the around the throne of God and see Jesus face to face. And friend, let me just tell you something. Paul knew about it. He said, hey, I'm in these bonds. I'm in these chains. And it ain't what I planned, but let me just tell you something. I'm a little closer today to heaven than I was yesterday. And it's okay. It's all right. Boy, I tell you, I think about, and we may not be there quite today. We're not in prison. We're not bound in chains. But we do have difficulties. We do have difficulties. The more we get over there on the other side, the more people we start to bury. I think about the stuff that our church has been through. Two of our precious servants of God have went home to be with the Lord. I've had the honor and privilege of preaching both of their funerals. Gerald Murray, a bus captain this year in May of last year, or April, I believe it was, 55 years old, just sitting on his sofa again, late at night. Gerald Murray, a heart attack. He lived a few days, went on to be with the Lord. Now, Cerise, I don't understand it. I'm talking about two servants of God. I'm talking about two irreplaceable people. Why? But I think about the glad reunion we're going to have with them.
Amen.
I think about seeing them one day. I think Gerald's already seen Cerise, and Cerise has already seen Gerald. And hey, I think about all the people and those of you that have loved ones. And I've just thought about all the funerals that we had. Ralph Bryant passed away this year, and some others that I'm talking about here. Just about every service, and was givers and tithers and servants of God and soul winners and worshipers and all. You just think about how good they were, and then you think about how far better they're doing right now. I'll tell you. The only hope that we have today is in that blessed hope. Paul said, why could he be so confident in these verses? Stay with me. Why could he be so confident? Don't miss this. Look at verse 19. Let's not miss this. This is the great truth. How could he have that hope? Here's what he said. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. Did y'all see that? They were praying for Paul. I believe that the way that we can see this hope, what brought Paul such hope, I believe the first thing was the Philippians were praying for Paul. Preacher, what can I do for these families going through difficulties? You can pray for them. Oh, I would imagine, I mean, I know our church, we pray, but you understand the greatest thing that you can do for another believer or another person in all is pray for them. This Philippian church, these Philippian believers were praying. And we're not told. I'm not sure what, but I could just imagine that they were praying for Paul's well-being and for his release. And there are times when all we can do for people is pray. But in those situations, that is enough. Well, I think I've got the words to say. No, just keep your words. You don't have the right words to say. You don't. So guess what? Let's just take them to God. I felt last Saturday night very... I felt like an anemic pastor. Just so frail. I didn't know what to say. Kenya looked at me and he said, Pastor, they want to take her off life support. What do you do? What would you do? And I said, Kenya, I can't answer that. That's your wife. Buddy, I want to be a pastor one day, do you? Want to be a preacher? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that night I would have gladly gave it to you. Go through the fire with some people, a friend, gather around a room, pray and hold hands and say, God, I wish you'd raise her up. He didn't. So guess what? He healed her. Guess what we're doing? We're trusting God because we have hope. Boy, these verses help me. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been in the Bible and just seeking God. And boy, there's not a better time around the holidays than just to open up your Bible and just read it. And man, think about what Paul was in. Some old nasty, dark, drafty, cold dungeon, stripped of his clothes, humiliated, spit on, cursed at. Think about what Paul was in. It's a difficult situation, but these Philippian believers were praying. Pray for that person by name. Pray for that unseen door to be opened for them. See, he can witness to people that maybe I can't get to. Think about that. Cerise may have died so that Ikenia could... You say, preacher, I just don't know if that... Really? Well, here we are. We're seeing a perfect example of a man being arrested and thrown in dungeon just to reach people. Let's look at it through the eyes of God. The lens of love. Here's the second thing. They not only prayed for him, but notice what else has taken place in verse 19. For I know that this shall turn my salvation to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So guess what else was kicking in? The Holy Spirit. There was people praying for Paul in that dungeon and praying, God, you just help Paul and give him strength. And God, if you see fit, let him go. And then guess what? Paul's down there suffering and he's down there cold and away from, and he's encouraging other believers. But guess what else is going on? The help of the Holy Spirit of God's kicking in. He's encouraged in the Lord. What a beautiful gift that God has given to us. God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, what a great gift. Oh, I thank God for that. This hope that Paul has expressed by the fact it is the peace that whatever happens to him, he just wants to exalt Christ. That's what he says. Look at it. He says in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, there it is, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified. Paul is saying, hey, boys, all I care about is that God gets the glory through this trial. Goodness. That God would get the glory. Look at verse 23. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Boy, I'm glad he put that in there. Which is far better. We know where Paul's eyes. His eyes were fixed on heaven. His eyes were fixed on Jesus. And I'll tell you, you and I may not be there today as far as in the dungeon, but we may have a difficulty. There may be some trials that we're going through, but I know this. We can come to the altar. His arms are wide open. He wants to help you today. We can pray for you. We can be there with you. Ikenia would call me and he'd say, Pastor, we've called each other a couple of times every day. I'd stop by yesterday, went by twice on Christmas. I knew Christmas, it was her birthday. I went by Christmas morning and Rebecca had baked some cinnamon rolls and we had cinnamon rolls. Then we went by that evening and they didn't even know what gifts to distribute. She knew all that, so they were trying to figure all that out. By the way, a lot of things we take for granted, don't we? Went by there this week and he said, Preacher, don't leave. I just want you to be here. I want you to walk through this with me. Hey, that's what we're here for, right? Pray. Pray. Love on each other. His difficulty is no greater than your difficulty. Some of you have lost a mate years ago and you still struggle. Some of you going through a financial difficulty now, maybe depression. Maybe you're going through emotional things. Maybe you're going through a marital problem. Maybe it's the loss of a child. I know this, them difficulties can become doors.